You are Locked On Broncos, your daily podcast on the Denver Broncos, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
And the Denver Broncos have taken Super Bowl 50.
That's right, you are Locked On Broncos. It is time to drop some knowledge. I am Chad Jensen, the publisher of MileHighHuddle.com, and with me is my co-host Luke Polglaze, a semi-pro football coach and NFL draft analyst. Luke, my friend, what's good?
Man, the NFL season may be over, but it's time for the most exciting time of year. No, it's not the playoffs. It's the NFL draft. It's starting to get into some of that kind of stuff, so I'm pretty excited.
It's certainly coming up on us quickly, but in the meantime, first order of business is the Broncos got to find themselves a head coach and build a staff around that individual. And Luke and I are committed to bringing you a daily podcast that focuses entirely on the Broncos and their coaching search, at least 5 days a week. We're not here to just report the news. We're here to do more of a deep dive on your favorite team. So help us out. Share the episodes on Twitter, Facebook, social, and follow the show on Twitter, at Locked On Broncos. Very important to us. Take a second, if you have a Twitter account, find at Locked On Broncos and turn that follow button blue. We really appreciate that. And of course, the home of Locked On Broncos is Audio Boom. But make sure to subscribe on iTunes. And if you are an Android user, Stitcher. We got another season in the books. But with the coaching changes, as Luke said, the draft, free agency, you're not going to want to miss a single episode. Now, I want to turn to a topic that we actually meant to discuss on Monday or even Tuesday's episode. But with all the different balls the Denver Broncos currently have in the air, we just couldn't get to it. And that is Wade Phillips and the future of Wade Phillips. Now, as we talked about yesterday, in regards to the Broncos' current search for a new head coach, John Elway absolutely slammed the door on any of the current coaches being considered for the head job. That includes Wade Phillips, you know, even though he's actually not currently under contract. Of course, he signed a two-year deal back in 2015. And on Tuesday, Luke, something interesting. Phillips tweeted the following. The first tweet said, quote, "Coach's life, unemployed to Super Bowl victory to unemployed in 3 years or less." And then he followed that up shortly thereafter with, quote, "Still hoping to be with the Broncos, of course." Now, Phillips, you know, obviously he's speaking to the transient nature of coaching in the NFL and, you know, how quickly things can change, how quickly the tables can turn. And you don't often see coaches with Twitter handles, and probably for good reason. Wade is more of a benevolent, like, version of Donald Trump in that you get some really off-the-cuff type of insights from his Twitter account. Now, Luke, those two tweets there I find to be particularly interesting. How do you interpret what Phillips said in those two tweets?
I know a lot of people are going to read a lot into those two tweets and what is he saying? What is he meaning? You know, to me, plain and simple, all it means is he is unemployed right now. His contract is run out. I think it's more kind of hinting at the fact that he wasn't extended in season, that he, you know, he's gone from unemployed to a Super Bowl to now not having his contract extended before it runs out and kind of having to start from square one with negotiations. So I don't necessarily take it as a sign that he's out the door in Denver. I think it's more just a sign of, well, here we go again.
Yeah, and I interpret it maybe even a little bit as a shot across the bow of John Elway and company. And look, as much as we all love Wade Phillips and respect the impact that he's had on the Broncos defense, and I wrote about this last week late, got lambasted for it on social media, Facebook, Reddit, there's no guarantee he returns in 2017, and that was before the news of Gary Kubiak planning to step down broke. Now, Phillips, he's going to be 70 years old when the 2017 regular season rolls around. And you know what? If he feels like he's good to go and he feels like he can continue to coach at a high level, I believe him. But you have to wonder how committed the Broncos are to making him part of the deal for the new head coach accepting the job. I mean, based on what John Elway said in his Monday presser, how the new head coach views Wade Phillips and the, you know, entire defensive staff will determine what happens. Here's real quick, let's hear that, what Elway had to say when he was asked about retaining Phillips and company.
Well, I mean, obviously that's going to be a lot up to the new head coach. You know, I think that when you look at it, you look at what we have and, you know, the team that we have, I think, you know, it's a job that I think a lot of guys would have. And I think we have an excellent coaching staff, but that's going to be up to the next, you know, coach. And so I'm sure he will, you know, retain a lot of them. Hopefully he'll retain a lot of them. But obviously we'd like to keep as much continuity as we can, too. And, you know, so if we can keep as much of it together, we'll try to do that.
Now, it's interesting, Luke. Elway says, I'm sure we'll retain a lot of them. And then the next sentence, hopefully we'll retain a lot of them. There's more to this story, I think. You know, why did the Broncos allow Phillips' contract to expire? I mean, long before Kubiak ever hinted or talked about stepping down, and the Broncos, you know, before they had any clue, they'd be hunting for a new head coach. You know, I've been told that money has a lot to do with it, that Phillips, you know, he looks around the league, and he takes into account what he accomplished in 2015 and even 2016, and maybe he thinks he deserves to be the highest paid defensive coordinator in the NFL. And we know, of course, factoring into that type of scenario, how shrewd Elway and the Broncos can be with the cap wizard, Michael Sullivan, even though, you know, he doesn't just manage player salaries. He manages the coaches and all that too, and the owner money. How shrewd they can be when it comes to money and the negotiating table.
Right. Well, I mean, it's no surprise that Wade Phillips is, you know, he's no stranger to unusual Twitter tactics. I mean, he basically gave Shiloh Keough a job off a Twitter tryout. Let's be real with ourselves. So it's, you know, it's not out of the ordinary for him to be doing this kind of publicly on Twitter, to be making some kind of comment about it in a sense. Yeah. And you look at Wade Phillips, obviously he's a top echelon defensive mind. From what I've been hearing is, you know, it's mixed news, you know, from what I've been hearing so far, it's that Wade Phillips has to say if he's going elsewhere, he's going to leave. If he's staying, it's on him. But either way, the choice is going to be his. So it's going to be interesting to see. I think that there's a lot of coaches on the defensive side that they wouldn't mind bringing back. But, you know, really, it's going to be the new regime who kind of dictates that specifically. For one, I would love to see Bill Kohler come back, the defensive line coach.
That's what I was just going to say, yep.
Yeah, because, I mean, without him, you know, he was banging that table hard for Adam Gotsis there in the second round. Without him, without his development, and boy, you kind of wonder if that pick just doesn't pan out as much as it would with that developmental coach there.
Good point. Well, and let's not forget that as good of players as Malik Jackson and Derek Wolfe were before Bill Kolar came to Denver in 2015, I mean, they really turned the corner under his tutelage. And I think, you know, and they've talked about it at times, but there's a lot of credit to them turning that corner and the players they've become that can be laid at the feet of Bill Kolar. And again, you know, the whole thing with Wade Phillips and, you know, trickling it down to the defensive staff, there's something happening, I think, between the lines or behind the scenes on this issue that's kind of preventing us from seeing the whole picture, and that's as it should be. I mean, because on the outside looking in and listening even to the players over the past week, it would seem it's a no-brainer that Phillips should be considered almost like part of the package, you know, for any new head coach coming in. But the Broncos, they don't want to assume that. The head coach is going to have a say. From what I'm seeing, from what I'm hearing, I think fans need to just start preparing themselves for the possibility that Phillips does not return as defensive coordinator. Now, the bright side is, I think, at this stage, Denver's two top candidates are Kyle Shanahan and Vance Joseph. If either one of those guys end up with the job, I think the odds increase that Phillips returns, because both of those young candidates have a history working with Wade. But from what I've learned today, every team in the NFL right now currently looking to fill a head coaching vacancy has eyes for both Shanahan and Joseph.
Right. Well, every go-round on the coaching carousel, there's always a couple really particularly hot candidates who draw the eyes kind of more of the GMs, of the coach-filling positions around the league. So it's, you know, it's not really any surprise that guys like Joseph and guys like Shanahan are going to get those increased looks. But right now, I mean, I would have to imagine that Wade Phillips is not under contract. And so I can't imagine him really being part of this puzzle Being that he's not under contract, being that he officially does not have a role with this team as of this minute. And so they're going to have to play him back into the fold, so to speak. They're going to have to coax him back in if they want him to be a part of this team and if they want him to have a lasting impact on this defense going into next year.
And that's a good point as well. But, you know, what we can take also from some of the things that Elway talked about on Monday is how, I mean, he and the front office, they all recognize right now that the foundation of this team is the defense, and they don't plan on trading any players from the, they never say never, as Elway said Monday. They don't plan on trading any of those guys. They plan on utilizing that as the foundation, their defense, with which to build on moving forward. And, you know, you got to believe that they're going to be loath to tweak anything that would affect what they've been able to accomplish over the last 2 years defensively, because you look at the Broncos defense in 2016 and, you know, free agent losses, injuries, some personnel issues that caused them to take a step backward in terms of defending the run. But you could even argue, Luke, that the Broncos against the pass and, against the pass and even in rushing the passer, they didn't quite have as many sacks. But passing defense specifically, coverage and all that, and foiling opposing quarterbacks, you could argue they were even better in 2016 under Phillips in that department than they were in their Super Bowl year.
Right. Well, it's all about the little improvements. And when it comes to that, it came with improvements, to me at least, of rushing the passer. You've got an extra year of development for Shane Ray, for Shaq Barrett, and Von Miller just playing out of his mind. And then in the back end, you've got an increased year of experience with Darian Stewart back there, TJ Ward back there, and then you add two very intriguing, talented rookies into the mix with Will Parks and Justin Simmons. So now you've got an influx of talent there. You're going to struggle a little bit along the linebacker core, but this unit arguably rushed the passer better this year than they did last year at times.
You know, speaking about Shane Ray, I mean, this is a guy that I want to talk about more as we get a little bit farther into the offseason and projecting what to expect in 2017. But this is a guy, I'll tell you what, that I'm really excited about. I really liked what I saw from Shane Ray, especially just down the stretch. I mean, he's grown into quite the player, and I think next year in particular, we're going to see him really jump off the map. So, you know, and with regard to Phillips, we're going to know soon. Time's going to tell what's going to happen on that front. But in the meantime, listen, one of the benefits we have at the Locked On Podcast Network is we have the chance to work closely with our advertising partners, SeatGeek. You've heard us talk about them. We enjoy taking the time on our show to talk about these advertising partners and to help them reach new people. These are companies we believe in. You know, it's a powerful thing. It's not something we take lightly. We're always looking to grow our relationships. If you're listening to this show, you're a business owner, you'd like to reach the male demographic between the ages of 18 and 44, you should take a strong look at considering to sponsor this podcast. 98% of the Locked On Broncos listenership is male, 80% of which are between the ages of 18 to 44. Now, our rates are very reasonable. Feel free to reach out to us at lockedonbroncos@gmail.com, and we can talk about it. Now, Luke, a quick update. The Broncos are officially expected to interview with Kyle Shanahan either Friday or Saturday of this week. And they're also planning to meet with Vance Joseph just as soon as his availability becomes a little bit more known. With the Dolphins set to play this weekend against the Steelers in the wild card round, there's a good chance that his schedule will be, wide open come Monday. But Shanahan, he's on a bye, so he does have a little bit more time right now to get started on his rounds of interviews, which he has at least four lined up between Friday and Saturday. But another guy whom the Broncos have interest in is Kansas City Chiefs special teams coordinator, Dave Tobe. Now, they plan to meet with him soon as well. This is a guy, Tobe. He's 54 years old. He's been coaching in the NFL now for, 16 years, most of which have been in the third phase as a special teams guy. You know, he's been a dark horse candidate over the last couple of years to land a head coaching job. Hasn't quite worked out, but at this stage, his star is really starting to burn bright. And although, you know, we don't often see special teams coordinators land head coaching jobs, there is a precedent. I mean, John Harbaugh parlayed his experience and his resume as a special teams coordinator into getting the Baltimore Ravens job. What was that, 2008, Luke? And, you know, he goes on, he wins a Super Bowl 4 years later. And another quick note about Tobe, since he became a special teams coordinator 13 years ago, his units have scored touchdowns 30 times, which is the most in the NFL by a mile. And he might not fit the, you know, quote-unquote young ideal that Elway talked about on Monday that the Broncos are looking for, but he certainly is bright. He's an intriguing option. Andy Reid said, what was it, about a year ago, that Tobe would be a phenomenal head coach.
Right. Well, you see the Broncos having interest in him, the Raiders having interest, excuse me, the Chargers having an interest in him. So really the Raiders are the kind of left out team here because it seems like every team in the AFC West wants this guy. You know, obviously the Chiefs would love to have him back in town. He's been a bright spot for them this season. And I think it's really kind of understated just how important the special teams coordinator is for most NFL teams. And you see that with a guy like Tobe. He's made an impact in Kansas City, and for them to really kind of be extolling his virtues as a head coach candidate says a lot about who he is as a coach, his dedication, and his knowledge of the game. I think John Harbaugh is the classic example of a guy who went from being, you know, the special teams coordinator to the head coach. He had a great impact there. Tobe is probably the number one special teams coordinator in the NFL. From what I've been hearing, a guy to keep your eye on would be another special teams coordinator, Dave Phipp in Philadelphia. He's a younger guy. I think he's like 42 years old. He's another special teams coordinator who the players love his energy. He's been doing great work, just leading the league in a lot of special team stats. So, you know, if it's not Tobe, I wouldn't be surprised if Dave Phipp gets a couple calls from NFL teams this year as another special teams coordinator looking for a head coach job.
Everything I'm hearing, though, is the Broncos are really focused on getting a younger coach. And, you know, we could sit and dissect some of the reasons behind that. But I think if you look at what, you know, here's Elway now going into his seventh year in the Broncos front office, and now he's already on his third coach. You know, you look at John Fox, you look at Gary Kubiak, neither one of those guys were what I would categorize as old guys. But, you know, they're comfortably in their middle age, they're set in their ways, they have a certain way about, you know, going through their business. Both guys suffered some sort of health scare while head coach of the Denver Broncos. And so, you know, there's reasons why, and not just, you know, health or physical reasons why the Broncos want to go young. I think they're looking for a spark. They're looking for some energy there. And who knows? I mean, if they feel like they can get that same type of a spark and that same type of, you know, some juice from a guy like Dave Tobe, who, although he's 54 years old, certainly has some that edge, I think, that the Broncos are looking for. You know, they can't rule him out. But I think right now, Luke, the top two guys that really seem to be on the Broncos' radar are Kyle Shanahan and Vance Joseph.
Yeah, and everything out of Dove Valley so far really serves to confirm that. And for me, if I'm picking out of those two, I know that there's history there, but I'm going to go with Kyle Shanahan. I really think this team right now just needs an offensive-minded head coach who's going to maximize what they have offensively on the roster.
Yeah, I mean, I get giddy thinking about what Kyle Shanahan could do for this Broncos team. You know, not just for the offense, Paxton Lynch, developing him, developing Trevor Siemian. And it's exciting, but I don't think we can get our hopes up quite yet because he's a guy that is in quite the demand. And there's also still some unresolved issues there with some of the backstory to how Mike Shanahan ended his tenure as the Denver Broncos head coach and how much influence he could potentially have if his son were to be a head coach. And, you know, we've talked about that before. But I think for now, that's all the time we have for today's episode. Again, in the coming days, we're going to be breaking down this coaching search as news breaks, as we get new names of candidates. We'll be sure to give you our take. Stay tuned. Be sure to follow at Locked On Broncos on Twitter. You can find Luke on Twitter, at Luke Polglaze, myself, at Chad N. Jensen. We do want to hear from you, so hit us up. Check out the other killer podcasts on the network. You got Locked On NFL Draft. You want to check that out this time of year. And also Locked On NFL with Matt Williamson is a great listen. Don't forget to subscribe. For Luke, I'm Chad. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Mile High Huddle.
Hey.